morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. We're in hour two. Hour two of our first day. Thank you for listening to Reliable News Talk Radio this October 1st. So excited to be here with you. And if you're tuning in to listen to Mike Gallagher, well, you get a little more Stacy Ann in the morning. Excited to be here with you as we continue the conversation this morning. Our first hour, we were blessed to have Samuel with us from Youth with a Mission. And now we're moving into second hour, and there's some exciting things going on in Salem, have been going on for the last 10 days or so as we move, actually now 2 weeks, as we move into the 40 Days for Life and Standing Strong for Life. And excited to have you along with me, Bob. Again, talk to us a little bit about what's happening here in Salem.
Well, the campaign began on Wednesday, the 23rd of September, mm-hmm. and we're having volunteers be on the sidewalk and pray, and also some good conversations with people coming in to the Planned Parenthood Clinic.
The interesting thing was, for me, we left town and I wasn't able to be there when you had your launch on the 20th and you had speakers and all of that. That right before that was the fire and all the thick smoke and all of that. And I was thinking about, you know, people being outside and praying outside and all of that. I was like, Lord, please let the rain come. Let the air blow fresh. We've got a campaign right around the corner. We've got the Life Chain coming up on the 4th of October. And so it blew, you had your celebration, your kickoff anyway. And on the 20th, how was that? Talk to us a little bit about it.
It was good. The air quality was down in the good range. Mm-hmm. And it was a sunny day and we were all set up and we had a great rally.
Excellent. So the 40 Days for Life, what is the background of that?
40 Days for Life began in 2004 at Bryan/College Station, Texas. Mm-hmm. That's just off the campus of Texas A&M University. A Planned Parenthood clinic had just come in, and the volunteers that were pro-life went there and prayed and that it wouldn't come in, but it did. And it was kind of discouraging, but four people gathered around a table, mm-hmm. And prayed and asked, what do we do now, mm-hmm. to God? And the idea came to them that they needed to do a 40-day straight prayer and fasting and sidewalk vigil campaign, which they did. They had, it was 24 hours a day and a short notice, and they managed to fill all their hours. And that was the first campaign in the fall of 2004. And over the next 2 years, six other cities, they heard about it. Mm-hmm. People in those cities heard about it, and they wanted to do it too. So they had, there were campaigns in six other cities. In the fall of 2007, then they had the first coordinated, simultaneous 40 Days for Life campaign in 89 cities in the United States.
Wow.
And now, between 2004 and now in 2020, over 1,000 sites in cities have had campaigns in 63 nations. It's gone international. Mm-hmm. And there are measurable life-saving results. This fall 2020 campaign is the largest ever, with 588 sites in cities around the world. There's even been one in Moscow.
Wow.
Although not this fall. And since 40 Days for Life began in 2004, volunteers from more than 20,000 church congregations have participated. And as of the beginning of the campaign this fall, 17,226 children have been saved from abortion and their mothers and other relatives. Those are just the ones we know about. Mm-hmm. There, of course, are many who change their minds but don't let us know. And there have been babies saved already in our campaign this fall.
Let's talk a little bit about our crisis here in Salem, Oregon, and in Oregon in general, in regards to moms and the unborn, and our lack of protection for both in our community. What are the statistics, just even during the pandemic? Can you talk to me a little bit about, who can talk to me about the statistics? Who'd like to talk to me about that? Would you like to visit? You're with the Life Chain, right? You want to introduce yourself to everybody?
My name is Marie Chen, and I'm the coordinator for the Greater Salem Area Life Chain. And just yesterday, I heard on the news 555 Oregonians had died due to COVID-19 in these 6 months time that this has begun. And according to Oregon Health Authority, 3,264 babies have died in 6 month time frame, same period.
So you're saying that over 3,000 babies have been lost to abortion during that same time period of the pandemic. And we all know how our whole lives have been upended to protect one another from the spread of COVID-19, and yet abortions are still continuing on in our state and in our local community, and there's no upheaval, there's no upended of everybody's lives to rescue or protect, except for those of us that feel called, and why the 40 Days for Life campaign, why the Life Chain. Talk to us about Life Chain coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, Life Chain is this Sunday from 2:30 to 3:30. We have three sites and possibly four.
Yay!
Lancaster Drive has been the traditional site, and signs will be available at People's Church to hand out for people to then space themselves out at least 10, 20 feet apart. To speak the truth to our community. We have another Life Chain Broadway and Salem Parkway area with signs available at Salem Evangelical Church. And then a third site in Staten on First Street with signs available at Calvary Lutheran Church on Fern Ridge Road and First Street. And possibly a Life Chain in Independence. Tammy, I don't have a road.
We'll bring Tammy.
Third in Monmouth is what I'm being told.
We're bringing Tammy in on the conversation. Yeah. Hello, Tammy.
Hi.
Welcome. You are with the Sidewalk Advocates for Life, right?
I'm a trained volunteer with Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Yes.
And and what I love about that organization as well, and you're new to the discussion because about 3 weeks ago we talked with Marie and with Bob, you're a volunteer, and the training of Sidewalk Advocates are trained to be right there where women are walking into an abortion clinic. Most time it's Planned Parenthood, sometimes other parts of the country it's a women clinic or whatever they name it. You're trained specifically to reach that abortion-minded couple, woman, individual, and you can transition them into places that are real close by to help. Talk to us a little bit of that.
Well, we offer life-affirming opportunities right in this community to those that are entering that facility that oftentimes don't even know that other opportunities exist right in the area that are free or low cost to them, readily available, and a lot of the people going in there aren't even really in favor of what that facility or that organization is involved in. So they're happy to receive information about other places they can go for their needs, life-affirming options. And, you know, one thing that also is of import to know is that that facility, that Planned Parenthood facility, is not licensed or inspected by the Oregon Health Authority. And so for many reasons, it's just really, really important to be there to offer life-affirming options, to offer better options to those who really don't know there's any other place to go.
Let's talk about those options. Let's talk about some of the places right here in Salem. Maybe a listener has someone in their family that's facing a decision, and they need to be empowered with that information. Where would they go?
Well, they could go to one of the pregnancy resource centers that are available that are operating in Salem. Mm-hmm. You could go to Hope Pregnancy Clinic, St. Germain's, Michael the Archangel, Birthright. If they need STD testing or pregnancy test and ultrasound, of course, you know, Hope or St. Germain's, those places can help them with that. But they can also go to the Federally Qualified Health Center on Lancaster, mm-hmm. the Lancaster Family Health Center, mm-hmm. which offers medical, dental, pharmacy, nutrition services, and WIC. There are also many, many things available online that people may not be aware of. Perhaps they've taken the first abortion pill and have regretted it. Therefore, they can go to abortionpillreversal.com and find out how they can reverse that when they act quickly.
That abortion reversal is phenomenal. I've heard incredible stories. And if the pill, is it called Plan B? Is that the pill, how they're describing it?
Well, there are different mm-hmm. after-the-fact pills that are taken. The two-step abortion pill is the RU486, mm-hmm. and that has been reversed successfully in many, many cases throughout the country. AbortionPillReversal.com is an excellent resource, and they're open 24/7. It's just an amazing resource that has helped many women save their babies after having taken that first pill and then regretting it. But they need to find out about that resource.
That's exactly right. Where do they go again?
AbortionPillReversal.com.
That's such a great resource. And again, to reinforce what you said about all of the help in this community, I'm so impressed that we have so many pregnancy help resources, the Hope Pregnancy Center, as you mentioned, there's Birthright, and you said St. Michael's, I'm not familiar with that one as well. Is there a pregnancy mobile unit in town as well?
There is one that comes periodically to do free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. And so more information can be obtained through St. Germain's.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, as a sidewalk advocate for life, I'm familiar with the national director, Lauren, mm-hmm. and they're equipping and training and doing volunteer trainings in each community. If someone wanted to get involved with this, who would they contact?
Well, I'm the local area program director, so they could get in touch with me. In order to take the training right now, it's also available online for a limited amount of time,
okay.
which is extremely convenient for busy schedules. And in order to do that, they would go to sidewalkadvocates.org/training-app.
Excellent, excellent. We're continuing the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 40 Days for Life, Life Change. Sidewalk Advocates for Life. We are standing up, standing firm for moms and babies and families, not only in Salem, but all across the nation. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. Hour two on our very first day of going 2 hours. So glad to have you listening. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this first day of October, and our weather today is going to be a nice day. In fact, temperatures in the 80s all week. Interesting. As we get to the weekend, it'll get about 73 degrees on Sunday, but pretty good weather overall. I did notice, I don't know if you noticed at all, the moon this morning. Oh my goodness, last night it was orange, and this morning it was orange, full moon. It was an incredible view. In fact, I called my dad and I called Terry and my dad, and I said, hey, you guys need to look out the window as I was coming to work this morning, because it was absolutely gorgeous. And I think, you know, when we think about fall and we think about all the activities and things that we do normally on a regular schedule when we don't have COVID, right, and all the things going on. You know, the fall is such an amazing season of community and getting together. But also there's, for the last several years, in October, the first Sunday in October has been this event called The Life Chain. And it's such a demonstration to our community and a reminder and awareness that we need to stand for life.
Absolutely.
All life, right?
Absolutely.
And so talk to me about the Life Chain here in the Willamette Valley.
I'd like to share. Life Chain is a peaceful prayer gathering to stand up for life. But I would just like to share just a little bit background. I've been involved for 30 years now, mm-hmm. and I felt the first year doing Life Chain, it was like we were rebuilding a spiritual wall mm-hmm. in our community, just like Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And since that timing, I don't know, God speaks in many different ways, and one of the ways he has spoken to me at times is in visions or in dreams, or that still quiet voice inside me that is his voice. And one of the visions that he gave me 30 years ago was a hand over the continent of the United States. Mm. And that hand was lifting away. And it was a hand of protection over the United States. And I don't know if it was God's hand or an angel's hand, I have no idea, but that hand was lifting away. And in that moment, I knew that it was lifting away because of abortion and what we're doing in our country. And I just feel we are in a crucial time right now, a pivotal time. Our nation has gone so far away from the foundation of what we were built on, mm-hmm. and we have a chance of turning back to God. And if we don't, we are going to see judgment. And I believe judgment has already come, to tell you the truth. Mm. In my personal opinion, 9/11 and COVID-19 as part of that judgment. But I think further judgment is coming if we don't turn back to God. And this is an opportunity to stand up for what's right. We have an opportunity in this coming election to vote for life and take seriously what God has put in front of us to do.
The issue of life is not a political, right. It's not political. It's
no.
Biblical, it's foundational, and our founding fathers saw that each of us are created equal, mm-hmm. as God has said, with unalienable rights, right? Given by God, not our government.
That's great.
And so when we stand firm alongside of that, and when we say we're going to protect all life from conception to natural death, and we live in a state that has no acknowledgement of that,
right.
Who's gone so far away that I don't even know in our state, because I'm new back here. Mm-hmm. Is there even, like, if someone was to get in an automobile accident and a woman was pregnant, would they be charged for the death of if the mama and the baby both died, would they be mm-hmm. charged? Would that child in the womb be recognized even then? I don't believe in this state that's mm-hmm. the case. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of prayer to do. Mm-hmm. Prayer leads the way, I believe. And when
Amen.
We're united in prayer through the denominations and all of those, it seems like sometimes mm-hmm. barriers that separate mm-hmm. us, right, in mm-hmm. our ways to worship God. Mm-hmm. When we come together, mm-hmm. it's a powerful force.
Amen.
And when we pray our way through these things, it's the foundation. Mm-hmm. The next step, in which you talked about, is in the election, right? Mm-hmm. We have an election just around the corner. And so the 40 Days for Life is a great reminder, and the prayer there at the clinic, the Life Chain out in the communities, mm-hmm. now in Independence. I'm so excited about that. And mm-hmm. Staten, right? Is it Staten?
Yes.
And then here, two places in Salem as a reminder. And I'm sure there's groups potentially in Portland, all over the state, mm-hmm. going on with the Life Chain. It's a reminder that we have a responsibility to stand for these fundamental issues. And to me, and talk to me a little bit about this, Marie, and you alluded to it, when we say we're protecting life in COVID, and yet we have 3,000 babies lost in that same time period that we lost 500 individuals,
mm-hmm.
and many of them had underlining
other complications. COVID mm-hmm. wasn't the main reason they died. They had some other complications. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we have a crisis on our hands, don't we?
Absolutely. When you think over 60 million babies in the United States have died due to abortions since 1973.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phenomenal number. I'm always reminded it, again, I'm older than many. You know, when I grew up in school and we heard about Hitler and what he did to 6 million Jewish people, and he was thought of, you know, that was a terrible thing, mm-hmm. and it was a terrible thing. And yet here we are, 60 million plus babies that have been killed. And where is the outcry? Where is it? And we have to come back to God and come back to what He wants us to stand up for.
And it bridges from our last guest talking about we have a heart condition, don't we?
Yeah.
We have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are and whose we are. And I would even go as far as to say our education system right now is so involved in evolution and getting us away from a creator mm-hmm. that we are the created in His image, right? Mm-hmm. A creator God that dehumanizes everybody and makes us of no value in a sense. And we have a lot of work to do, and we're working on it, aren't we? We're making a difference. After this break, I want to talk a little bit more on how people can get involved, okay? We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, standing for life today. It's important that we all do our part. We're going to talk about how you can get involved after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, Hour 2 on this first day of October. Thank you for being a part of it this morning. We're continuing the conversation with our friends, standing up for life together, making a difference, and wondering. I know at some point you could get really overwhelmed about all the statistics and things and just looking at in the last 6 months, Marie shared, Marie is a part of the Life Chain that's going to take place this Sunday. And I encourage you, friends, to join us. It's going to be a good, powerful hour throughout. If you're in Independence, if you're in Staten, if you're here in Salem on Lancaster Drive and also Broadway and Liberty, you can get your signs at People's Church, Salem Evangelical Church, and Calvary Lutheran Church. And of course, if you want more information, facebook.com, Salem Right to Life. And certainly we're excited to join together in the Life Chain. And I know it can be depressing. I understand that. I get that. But sometimes when we see the reality of what's going on in our own backyard, it moves us to do something about it. And I think our presence, our being active, our being there, can you sacrifice an hour to be seen by your community that this is something of importance, particularly right now during this election? And we want it. Overemphasize something, and I appreciate Bob you pointing this out and reminding us. And it's always a part of my heart when I talk about the issue of abortion. If you've suffered a loss, and I say suffered because it is truly a loss. I think at the time when someone has an abortion, they think that's their only option, and that's not the truth. There's plenty of options, as we know through Sidewalk Advocates for Life and Tammy and what her organization, where she volunteers her time and effort. There are options. But at the time when the abortion decision was made and afterwards, there's suffering that happens. And if you are someone who has lost a child to abortion, or maybe you lost a grandchild or a niece or a nephew has lost a child, we want you to know we don't come in a spirit of condemnation. We come in a spirit of love and compassion, and we want you to know there's healing and hope out there. And the true conflict, and this is where the heart of it is,
is that it's a conflict, because as we are created by God, women are designed to nurture that child and bring them up in a nurturing home. That's the nature of it. And here's the thing, the right and duty to preserve life cannot coexist with the right or duty to destroy it. The right and duty to preserve and protect the cherished relationship between the mother and the child cannot coexist with the right and duty to destroy it. It is the law, as it represents the collective interests of the individuals from whom it exists, that must choose which set of interests it must protect. And long ago, our law was required to choose life over death, the mother's beautiful interest in her child's life over its destruction, the protection of the innocent children over the misguided philosophies and trends in social thought, which come and go. It's I'm reading this out of an article presented out of the state of South Dakota to the Supreme Court. The denigration of the human race is abortion. This relationship between a mother and a child, its beauty, its survival, its benefits to the mother and child, its benefits to society, and it all rests in this self-evident truth. And this is important, that a mother is not the owner of her child's life. She is the trustee of it. That is the debate right there. And when we can get down to the facts that we bring the mom the information on, there's support and there's hope and there's help, and the beautiful organizations sitting right here before me, 40 Days for Life, Life Chain, Sidewalk Advocates for Life, our pregnancy help centers, there is a net of care and compassion and service to take care of. We're positioned, we're ready. Now, citizens of Oregon, we've got to come together, and this election is our opportunity. We've got to come together, and what are we willing to do, and who are we going to elect? And in my opinion, and I challenge our listeners in your circles, vote the values of our Creator God, that we need to protect life and preserve life, right? We have these beautiful resources, and so this election, when you are evaluating candidates, where do they stand on the life issue? For me, it doesn't go any further than that. If they're not going to stand and create laws to protect life, and we were talking about this, right, Marie and yes. Bob and Tammy, that in Oregon, there's nothing. There's no That's protections. Right. And part of the reason is because it's a supermajority Democrat, and their party platform is abortion. They're not to protect. They're not. That's not their value. And so if we want to have the same results, we're going to keep electing the same people if you want the same results. But I say this year, we're all uncomfortable with our elected leaders and the decisions they're making, because it's really affecting us personally with COVID and everything else. Now, Tammy, you and I have something in common, right? You graduated from the same high school as I did, didn't you?
Correct.
Oh, it's so fun to be back in Salem, and you're a graduate as well of Sprague High School. And I asked you a question here just a moment ago about, was Planned Parenthood in your school teaching sex education?
I don't recall any intrusion or what have you by Planned Parenthood the time I was in school.
Do you remember in your high school experience at all the concept or talk of abortion?
I just think it was considered popular. I don't, at least within my own sphere, I don't recall too much active conversation about it.
Here's the interesting thing about Oregon, Bob. You might know this statistic. My understanding is here in Oregon, even before the 1973 decision, abortion was legalized in Oregon. Was that correct?
Yes.
And do you remember what year that was? So it's been going on a long time here in this state.
I don't, but I know I know that in 1973, Oregon, I think there may have been some restrictions on abortion, but they were abolished in 1973 after the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade.
So the what protections there were in Oregon were eliminated, in other words.
Yes.
Wow. So many years, and the interesting thing about Oregon, and I love this little card, is that there's no regulation, none, of Planned Parenthood and the clinic that performs abortions. There's no protections, no oversight, no Oregon Health Authority. And during the COVID case right now, Oregon Health Authority is in the middle of everything, every business. They're threatening businesses and OSHA and all of that for not protecting wearing masks and having the social distancing. And they're so involved, and yet there's no oversight in a clinic that does a surgical procedure. I mean, our dental clinic has oversight. Our regular health clinic has oversight, probably even where they're taking the COVID tests. You know, the pop-up COVID test sites have oversight, but not Planned Parenthood. I think there's a problem. And again, we need to elect leaders in our community. Each of our community will stand for life. Talk to us a little bit about this Supreme Court nominee.
Amy Coney Barrett. Yes, she's a very attractive person for the Supreme Court. I mean, she's in the mold of Antonin Scalia. She clerked for him, I think, for a year. And I have a quote here from, this comes from the Chicago Sun-Times. And this is the Notre Dame Law School professor, O. Carter Sneed. He says, quote, "There's just consensus. Amy Barrett is the best student, the smartest and most talented person to ever come through the University of Notre Dame Law School." Now, that goes to her expertise, which is very, very high. But she's also an originalist and a textualist, and admires Antonin Scalia very much, sees herself as being in his mold.
Mm. And the beautiful part about that is that when you say originalists, define that a little bit more.
That is understanding the Constitution and laws in the way that they were understood when they were passed.
Mm.
And so for the Constitution, that would be how the Constitution was understood originally by the framers.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the laws go that she would review as being on the Supreme Court, again, it's the original, it's the language of the statute and the understanding of a language, text.
The beautiful thing about interaction with our listeners yesterday, we had a caller, Ray, reminding us that our founding fathers set up the Declaration of Independence. That's kind of our broadcast to the world of who we're going to be as the United States of America, and that in that it says who we are and whose we are, you know, that we were created by God with unalienable rights, you know, all of those things, and that our Constitution is our practice, our policy, and how we're going to do this United States, right? And so the difficulty about a decision of Roe v. Wade as saying constitutional, it's constitutional, it was almost added to, you know, and now these rights are being added to that was not established in the Constitution or in our amendments and all of those things. And so having a purist, someone who's going to look at the context, is really important. They're not going to invent or add to or expand in their own theory or practice the Constitution, and I love that. Now, her personally, she's a mom, she's a wife, she's juggled, she's adopted, she's given birth, she's well versed in community and academics, and as you said, I believe she's a great nominee. But again, it comes back down to elections, right? We're back to that election thing. We elected President Trump, who, by the way, is the most pro-life president we've ever had, right? And so we need to continue to make sure we can affirm those elected officials are going to stand for life, right?
Yes.
Yes. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a great conversation this morning with some pro-life advocates. The studio is filled with all kinds of encouragement and hope today. So glad to have you tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 8:49. Thank you for tuning in to the second hour of the Good Morning Salem show. Our first day of officially going 2 hours. And for me, you've gotten to know me over the last, however many months now, since March 1st, since we kicked off the morning show here. And you know that I'm pretty passionate about a few things. One of them being life and protecting moms and babies and families. The other is, of course, standing for our constitutional rights and being able to have our freedom to share our opinions, to share our faith, and the liberties that all of our founding fathers wanted to establish for this new America that they were so brave, and they sacrificed their time, treasure, and talent to degrees we will have no understanding. We really don't how difficult it would have been back then. Many of them lost their fortunes. Their lives were on the line. Their families' reputations were on the line, but they knew it was the right thing to do. And I think push forward now to 2020, and we've been sanctioned to our homes, kind of in a timeout because of COVID-19 to eliminate the spread, you know, this potential disease that has, we've lost 500 lives in Oregon, and that we don't want to minimize that. That's 500 families impacted by the loss of their loved one because of this disease, and it is real. But in that same token, within the same time period here in Oregon, we've lost over 3,000 babies. Those are 3,000 mamas and families, and 3,000 legacies and futures that will never be here on earth, and what kinds of time and talent and treasure that they would have contributed to our society. And friends, do you know the town of Jefferson is like 3,364 people? That's like white in the last 6 months we wiped out the town of Jefferson. Whoa. We know what the impact of the fires have had, destroying the town of Detroit and Mahama and Gates and all of that, just those wildfires going through and the destruction physically we can see, and we know those lives upended. But the generations of difficulty of the 3,000 families impacted, I don't even think we have an understanding of that. And I think for us, it's important that we keep this in the forefront of people's minds. And what are we going to do about it? Well, we have an opportunity on Sunday to stand together, and we can do the life chain from 2:30 to 3:30 on this Sunday, right? And invite, how do people find out more about it, Marie?
They can go to Salem Right to Life's Facebook page, or just Salem. Mm-hmm. RTL.org,
yep.
And scroll over to events, and they'll see Life Chain there as well. So if you have any concerns or questions, don't hesitate to either call Salem Right to Life or come that direction. If you need a number, Salem Right to Life's number is 559-553-1559-4971. And again, you can just go to salemrtl.org is another site you can just go to learn more.
Excellent. And we can get involved as well by being sidewalk advocates for life, right, Tammy?
That's right.
What can we do if we want to get trained and be right there and help women in that decision in that time and say, hey, there's other options. What can we do?
You could just go to sidewalkadvocates.org/training app. And apply to take the training. You can also visit the website, sidewalkadvocates.org, and take a look at it. But it's an excellent opportunity. And one thing I think is noteworthy, sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed or frustrated by the situation and the sorrow regarding the abortions that are happening in our nation. But through sidewalk advocacy, it's possible every time a trained advocate goes to the sidewalk to offer those loving, life-affirming options. Every time a trained advocate goes to the sidewalk, he or she can favorably impact people's lives and help to protect life. And we even reach out to the workers as well, so it can help them find out about options to transition out of the industry so that they're no longer participating
in the carnage taking place in our nation.
I've often, one of the prayers that I've had, and I encourage others to pray as well, is that the eyes of those working within the industry will be opened, and that they will see, as Abby Johnson did there at College Station. She saw what was going on in real time, and she said, I've got to get out of here. And she has, and now she has a ministry. I believe it's called Until There Is None, something like that.
And Then There Were None.
And Then There Were None, mm-hmm. where, yes, and it's a beautiful ministry that abortion workers can go to and get help and get job resources, financial assistance, things like that, and transition out of that industry into others. And the 1-800 number, 1-888-570-5501. If you are listening, or maybe you've gone through the dial and you're in the conversation, listening to this conversation, you're like, I do want out. I don't want to be a part of this. I've been a nurse for a long time and making good money, but I want out. I don't know how to. Certainly, you can send me an email as well. And I want to say, too, if you're someone who's lost someone to abortion, I want to be of help to you. I'm a trained facilitator, and I can get you to organizations that can support you today. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. I'd love to be a resource. Bob, as we wrap this up today, talk about 40 Days for Life. What are your needs there for prayer at the site now until the 1st of November?
Well, we need people to come and pray, do sidewalk vigils at Planned Parenthood here in Salem. There are hours that are open to be filled, mm-hmm. and every time someone is there praying, it's a possibility that people passing by will see that and mm-hmm. remember that they once were in their mother's womb, protected there, and that they really need to protect others and pray for that.
That's a beautiful thing. And so we have the Life Chain, we have the 40 Days for Life, we have Sidewalk Advocates for Life. We can all do a part, and I'll put these resources on our link when we put this up on the podcast where people can get involved. Anything else anybody wants to say before we wrap up? Think of anything we haven't covered? A lot of information in a short amount of time. And again, I encourage you to get involved. I haven't decided which place that I'm going to be. I'm a fan of Independence, Oregon, by the way, because that was kind of around the corner from growing up. But it might be fun to hang out in Staten, or perhaps Lancaster Drive or Broadway, and lots of options to get signs and be a part of. And so you never know where I might be. We'll run into each other. Listeners, let's all show up and show our community we stand for life, right?
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, doing 2 hours now. So excited about that. Tomorrow morning, our friend Terry Soule will co-host with me as we go through the news of the day and encourage, engage, and empower you as we continue to impact our community for good. It's really important that we all do our part. Roll up our sleeves and impact our community. And maybe you're listening and you're not from Salem. Maybe you're in Arkansas or Texas or South Dakota and you're tuning in. You know, there's things there that you can do. And certainly, when I was back in Arkansas, I had an opportunity to stop in to Choices Pregnancy Center and my friend Wendy to see how they were doing. And they were doing a diaper drive, so I was able to bring some diapers to them and check in on them. So be of support to your local pregnancy help centers. They need our encouragement. They need our resources. They need our volunteer hours as well. So all of us together making an impact for life. And I believe this election, we're going to elect some people who are going to start making some laws to protect life as well. Thank you for being a part this morning. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I are overcomers. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be blessed.